Hey, everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, and you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay tuned.
This is Booker T. This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Hey, you got Terry Funk here.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Let the main event begin!
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE.
This is Matt Hardy.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede Kid Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Bojo.
Hi, this is Christy Annie, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
And Andy.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host,
are there any assholes in the building?
Tim Stein.
The head asshole in charge!
That
boy is an asshole!
Mace.
Quote the Raven, keep my short.
Will.
There you go.
And the Omega
of the whole fucking show.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Wow, how long has it been since you heard that music? That is old school. Now, as always, this is the Omega leading the way into the episode. And joining me tonight, the just-arriving Spug.
I'm on time.
This is true. Our favorite turnbuckle fuck-knuckle, Mace.
I'm not talking to you. You broke my wallet.
And of course, as always, Mr. Tim Stein.
Bienvenue, mes amis, Wild Talk Radio et Wrestle Talk Radio. Je m'appelle Tim Stein et moi je parle français. So that
somebody
was
hit the English fucking button on that son of a bitch.
Hang on, the language option in Skype is messed up.
Yeah, no, hey, quick. To Google Skype, everybody. Rock. Long story. But yeah, hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR, Sunday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And guys, that was an absolutely terrible pay-per-view we just witnessed. I don't understand what the hell they were trying to get to. None of the storylines made sense. Wait a minute, there wasn't a pay-per-view on tonight.
You're just so used to saying it.
We're just so used to having, no.
There was no pay-per-view, but I had to fucking watch my Cleveland Browns choke away a tie with 10 seconds left in overtime. Antonio Holmes.
Yeah, well, to parody, to paraphrase the song on the Drew Carey Show, Cleveland sucks.
You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Shut your fucking mouth.
Cleveland sucks. It's in Ohio. Ohio sucks. Go, Jets, go! How about that LeBron James, hey, Omega?
I couldn't give a rat's ass.
Okay, yeah. Well, neither could I.
You have no idea how much I hate Florida sports.
You're really not going to stir anything up with LeBron James?
I'm not intending on it. No, not really. I'm just having fun. That's all. So, yeah, it's that time of the year where the pay-per-view is about to hit us fast and furious.
That's Tim going silent, ladies and gentlemen.
Quick look at Survivor Series.
Oh, there we go.
coming up next week. Did I fade out for a second there?
We lost you for a minute.
Goddamn Skype. You might be losing me again. It looks like my internet's about to go down one more time. I've been having problems and issues with it. Am I still here?
Still here.
Okay, well, if I fade out, then just, you know, carry on without me, you know what I mean?
We will endeavor to attempt.
Do you think you'd be able to? And I just want to say, fuck, shut up, because I read what he said in the production chat. And just for that, I'm going to make sure that I don't lose my internet. I'm going to connect to the neighbors instead. His wireless. So, well, what the hell? Let's just get right into some wrestling talk here. WWE going old school tomorrow night, guys. 3-hour special. Raw goes old school. You can expect to see the old block letter WWF logo invade your screens tomorrow night. Omega, what do you think about that?
I miss that old logo.
Can you explain to me, guys, anybody, feel free to chime in, how they can get away with using that logo but not the scratch WWF logo?
It goes back to the old lawsuit from the other WWF, the World Wildlife Foundation, where for some reason that block logo was okay, but for some reason the scratch, I guess, I don't know, made it look more like an F. I don't know. I've never understood exactly why, okay, this logo is fine, but this logo that is pretty much the exact same thing, no, that's too much.
Yeah, I don't get it myself. I mean, the old school one, like the old one, it just makes me think of a van, you know, like the Van Halen symbol for some reason. But, you know, the other one, the scratch logo, the attitude logo, if you will, as it's informally come to be known. I really don't understand why World Wildlife Fund has a problem with that.
Usually when copyright holders have that kind of thing, they have to, like, approve new logos and such. Like, I see it in my toy collecting all the time, where a company will hold the name of a character they want to use, but they will allow them to use the trademark so long as they change it just so much. It might be a similar case where, okay, we signed off, you're allowed to use this blocky metallic logo, but they didn't get any kind of approval on the scratch one. And I think Bug got his wish.
Hey, with the whole lawsuit thing, yeah, no matter how cute the girl is trying to get the money for the World Wildlife Fund, I just let her do a little spiel and then walk off. Mind you, I did make the offer that the only way that I'd make a donation is if I got her phone number. I didn't make a donation.
I think the whole lawsuit over the logo is ridiculous to begin with, because nobody is going to mistake two guys in spandex, jean shorts, boots, singlets, or whatever, slamming each other over the head with the steel chairs and cages for pandas. Just say.
There is no mistaking a panda and a pile driver.
Yeah, well, the main bitch and complaint from what I remember from... Yes, shut up. I've been here for a little while listening to you guys ramble. But no, the main bitch and complaint that I can understand that World Wildlife Fund had was the website more than anything else. I mean, people going to WWF.com thinking that's World Wildlife Fund or Foundation or whatever, and instead going to the wrestling thing, and that's where that's, you know, it's the advent of the internet that pissed off the panda guys. And, you know, that's the other thing. You know, you want to talk about World Wildlife Fund, and you want to save the pandas, and you want to preach vegetarianism and all this other bullshit, you have to go to panda.org. WWF.com has never led to the World Wildlife Fund like everybody sort of assumed was going to happen.
Well, I suppose the World Wildlife Fund could have the trademark for WWF. However, Vince still owns the website, and he still owns the domain name.
No, here's the irony, that Vince and the the World Wildlife Fund, neither one of them own the copyright right now. Neither one of them hold the website.
Yeah, neither of them hold the website right now. It's a landing page for wrestling-related stuff. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at it right now. It's one of those search landing pages, and right off the hop, the second related search listed is WWE wrestling tickets. Just about everything has to do with wrestling. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 6, 7 directly connecting to WWE or WWF, meaning World Wrestling Federation. Right there. And if you had the money, you could actually buy that domain right now from the people holding it, which are the ones who originally had the domain name filed with them.
And we aren't buying this and redirecting it to WTR. Why?
Because we don't have $250,000 to waste on the domain name.
Well, get back out on the street corner, Tim, and start making that money, man.
Yeah, I don't think so. Get off my lawn.
No.
Yeah, fuck, Michael. Go ahead. Say it.
Nah, you're not going to get it.
Well, anyway, back to WWE / F going old school. What are you guys looking forward to tomorrow night?
The Iron Sheik.
Iron Sheik? Okay, what about you, Spud?
I won't be watching.
Okay, well, fine. What about you, Omega?
I'm trying to remember everyone who's going to be there, because... Okay, hang on, I have my list. Let's see. My God. I want to see, honestly, since Ted DiBiase is going to be there, I'm looking forward to more Million Dollar Man. I could never get enough of that gimmick.
Oh, the Million Dollar Man. Okay, what about Sergeant Slaughter? Does that matter? Do you care?
I'm a G.I. Joe fan. It works.
You maggots, you puke. You get to hear a lot of that. Possibly might we see, at least for one night, the return of Triple H.
He count as old school?
Well, you know, nowadays, yeah, kind of, because it's think about it, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, you know, the Connecticut snob, was what, almost 20 years ago now.
Jeez.
Yeah, almost 20 years ago. So that would be old school.
That means the gobbledygooker is old school.
He's got a while to go to hit 20 years. He debuted in 96.
That's not that far off.
It's 6 years, Tim.
That's not that far off, dude. He's closer to it than not, you know, than to his debut. He's a lot closer to it than his debut. Anyway. You know, having Sergeant Slaughter show up, be just kind of neat to have Triple H come walking out with that face shield that DX wore that one time.
Didn't they try that when Michaels and Hunter Loft did DX, and they had the guest hosts?
I'm not sure.
I think they did.
I'm just trying to remember who the guest hosts were.
They had Sergeant Slaughter on as a guest host at one point. He's like one of the most boring hosts ever.
Sergeant Slaughter, the celebrity guest host when WWE was in Calgary a year ago, August 2009. And because WWE was worried about what kind of reception Shawn Michaels might get in Calgary, they filmed vignettes with DX, and this is where Triple H was going to look for Shawn Michaels, and Shawn was cooking in the kitchen and wound up quitting his job and super kicking that little girl that kept whining about her food.
I actually remember that episode now. It was God, it was Sergeant Slaughter just coming out and just bashing on Canada.
Yep, he kept shooting on Canada, and after every time he said something anti-Canadian and pro-American, he's on the mic saying, "Oh, just kidding, having a little fun here," and then he'd say another anti-Canadian thing. And I'm like, give it a rest. I mean, we already know that you guys are obnoxious in the States. We don't need proof. I'm just saying. But, yeah. Superfly Jimmy Snuka. You figure he's going to be there, along with Roddy Piper, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Tatanka, Mean Gene. Ooh, yes, Mean Gene. Okerlund. Should he not take over the main interviewing duties for the entire show tomorrow night?
Should take over the main interviewing duties, period.
No matter what, yeah, I know, but he's too old to do that.
Just because they consider him too old to do it doesn't mean he still can't do it.
Well, no,
look at the Fink. They think the Fink's too old to do ring announcing. Eddie could still make a crowd pop better than the fucking retards they got now.
Well, he's 100 times better than Tony Kimmel, that's for sure.
I believe I just answered that question, Rock. Yeah. Should the Fink be the ring announcer? Let me think about that.
Hell yes! Hell yeah! God damn it! Okay, now, how old school would you like to go with the announcers? Do you want to see Vince McMahon at the table with somebody filling in for Jesse the Body? Because you know Ventura won't be there tomorrow. Do you really want to go that old school?
Man?
Or would you
Can we have Vince and the Macho Man on commentary?
I can't see that happening. That'd be kind of fun, though. But is it old school enough to have JR teamed up
with
King?
He hasn't been asked, and King's injured, so he probably won't be there either.
Yeah,
which
no.
Which means we'll get Matt Stryker and Michael Cole.
We're going to get Matt Stryker and Michael Cole.
Hey.
Yeah. What's his name?
Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Yeah. Well, no, Tweedledum and Tweedledummer, actually.
I wasn't going to... okay, fine.
Seriously, Michael Cole, you know, you bring up a good point. He is supposed to be the play-by-play guy. He's supposed to push, you know, to help further the storylines along. Should he be acting as a heel commentator the way he does?
The way he does, probably not, because he's a terrible heel.
Jerry Lawler did it. Jerry Lawler never did play-by-play. He was always
Jerry Lawler. Yeah.
You know, and this goes back to old school, the old school announcing teams for practically every wrestling show I've ever seen, be it on TV or in the indies. The play-by-play guy was Superface, Mr. Extremely Neutral, pointing out the good and the bad that either side did. And the color commentator was always in support of the heel. That's old school commentary to me. I just can't wrap my head around the guy calling the action in the ring and furthering the storylines, shooting on the baby faces and praising the heels. I have a problem with that.
But that's the thing, Tim. Michael Cole isn't a play-by-play. He's meant to be the play-by-play guy.
Well,
if you remember, he started out as a color guy.
Yeah.
And now he's just being a color guy who sometimes calls moves. Because let's face it, play-by-play died in that company when they got rid of Jim Ross.
Yeah, pretty much. I remember when they brought in Joey Styles, temporarily at least for that, they tried to get him to steer clear of it. And he kept going back to calling the in-ring shots. And at one point in time, he did some kind of interview after he was done doing the play-by-play, saying that he was getting kind of tired of having Vince McMahon in his ear every single bloody show telling him what to talk about. Now, if there's one person who could, you know, you don't need to tell how to do play-by-play, I would think that would be Joey Styles. Wouldn't you agree, Mace?
Well, considering that Joey Styles used to be the best combo commentator in the business,
yeah,
he would do both. He'd do color and play-by-play at the same time. You know, he's a great guy for that type of balance, but, you know, he didn't fit in the WWE because, you know, you got to have Vince in your ear telling you what to do and say every 30 seconds. Just ask Mick Foley.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what about reaching back to the old WCW days and grabbing some announcers from that day that, you know, aren't employed by TNA?
Tony Schiavone?
Yeah.
They've already got Dusty Rhodes, so we have the return of the insane Dusty Rhodes commentary. That would leave guys like Mark Madden, Larry Zbysko, and Bobby the Brain Heenan because they can't get Mike Tenay because he's on TNA.
Yep.
Well, I think that covers all of them.
No, there's at least one or two more that they could probably grab. Don't forget Steve Mongo McMichael at one point in time sat at the table.
We try to forget him.
Yeah, I know. We try. It's not that easy. And then somebody else. Who was it?
Oh. See, to me, the WCW announce team was always Tony Schiavone, Mike Tenay, and Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yeah.
With sometimes Larry Zbysko during the sort of mid to late 1998 era.
I'm just trying to remember who I'm thinking of. He did it.
Eric Bischoff. He did commentary in 95, 96.
Yeah, but that's not who I'm thinking about. He's a little bit older than that, and for some reason my brain is telling me he had an association with the Four Horsemen. And I can't
remember. James J. Dillon.
There you go. Thank you, James J. Dillon.
Dillon was never a commentator. He was a manager. He might have been during the NWA days, but not in WCW.
During the era of WCW in the NWO, J.J. Dillon was the acting president of WCW.
Yeah, he was the acting president of WCW. But, I made a leap and went back to the NWA days.
Well, perhaps you should signal before turning.
Well, it just should happen. That's all. So, do you guys expect any surprises tomorrow night or anything like that?
Somebody in a wheelchair, probably.
Somebody in a wheelchair?
Don't know who, but they're going to get somebody out of, like, the real, real old folks' home.
Yeah. Well, there's rumors that Mae Young may actually make an appearance. Now, if she steps into the ring, she will make history, being the only professional wrestler to actually work in the squared circle over 9 decades.
Wow.
Can we not have that happen, please?
I don't
want the ancient skeleton trying anything near a ring anymore.
Yeah, I'd be scared for her.
Well, no, she doesn't have to do anything. All she has to do is literally just climb into the ring and, just in the middle
She'd
of the match.
She'd break a hip doing that.
Well, she could.
No, the only thing it'd be a diva tag match, and she'd be, she'd get the tag just to make a pin.
Or to deliver a clothesline, if it's done properly, the person she's clotheslining could sell it like crazy without even making actual contact.
Have you seen the divas on Raw these days?
Well, it would depend on... Now, there are three of them that could pull it off that are currently in WWE. Like actual, good wrestlers.
Okay.
Yeah, but remember, they don't like using those ones.
You got a point, Mace. You got a point.
Plus, you got to think that in order for them to do the running back bump required for a clothesline, in order to make sure that they don't hit Mae, hit her arm, or have a strong enough breeze that it's going to blow her off her feet, they're going to have to take the back bump on the other side of the ring.
Tell me, who would you say the biggest possible potential old-school surprise might wind up being tomorrow night that could...
Let's face it, they're going to pull Austin out of their ass because supposedly he's old school.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. That's so old school.
Well, as far as Austin goes, he has been making rumblings recently about showing a bit of a desire to return to WWE, at least temporarily, to help promote his new movie. But tomorrow night...
Good for him, don't care.
So... But, there is that. We might eventually see him. But apparently he's in Vancouver, Canada at this point in time. So, I don't know. I really don't want to put out any kind of expectation for tomorrow night at all whatsoever.
See,
and
this is,
I don't, you know, go ahead.
I just want to get this out. This is the one thing I hate about today's wrestling crowd, the main wrestling crowd that they cater to. To them, old school means guys like Austin and The Rock, whereas to guys like us, it's Nikolai Volkov, The Iron Sheik, Sergeant Slaughter, Hulk Hogan, Macho Man.
Superfly Snooker, Roddy Piper.
Yeah, guys that have earned that legend and old school status.
Bob Backlund.
Yeah, guys that most of these kids that are in the crowd today wouldn't have a single clue about. And unfortunately, they're going to pander more to those kids than they will to real old school wrestling fans.
Yeah.
Because supposedly we don't mean shit to them anymore.
Yeah.
So that, and if we want to watch old school, we just watch TNA.
And so conceivably, we won't see a possible appearance by Ricky the Dragon.
Oh, they'll trot them all out. They'll trot all the old school guys out. But will they do or say anything meaningful? Not really.
Yeah, most likely not.
They'll be there to stand up, wave, yay, we're in the Hall of Fame, where's my paycheck, Vince?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, in that situation, of course, one person that would be nice to see, but you know is not going to be there, will be Honky Tonk Man.
Tonk really doesn't want anything to do with like actual mainstream wrestling anymore, does he?
Well, he was initially scheduled to be there. However, he pulled out, citing personal reasons, and his personal reasons were agreed with by WWE. Now, the personal reasons happened to be not enough money. He wanted a lot more money.
No surprise.
Yeah. I think another one you can be guaranteed you won't see tomorrow night will be the Macho Man.
Which is a shame.
Yeah, they need to...
That bridge is very slowly being rebuilt still, I believe.
It's going to take a little while. It's going to be a couple of years before we see that completely connected, I think. But have you guys seen Randy Savage lately? He looks like a motorcycle gang version of Santa Claus.
Yeah, I saw the video from, I think it was Comic-Con this year, where they announced the Macho Man commemorative WrestleMania series or something like that, and... Yeah, he looked like Santa Claus on steroids.
Yeah, so. But anyway. Well, hey, everybody, listen to WTR, Sunday Night Rough Talk Radio right here on the Wall Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a first break of the night, and we're going to come back, talk a little TNA, creating a custom title belt for Jeb Hardy. Bret Hart, the victim of theft in Germany. A couple of people leaving and then re-signing with the company. And then we'll talk really quickly. Top 50 superstars of all time. Right here, Rough Talk Radio, WTR, Sunday night. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, with the advent of geek culture becoming mainstream, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are doing our best to capitalize on this phenomenon. In that vein, I, Mace, a co-host of Otaku Talk Live, have decided to move a small section of what we would talk about on OTL to its very own podcast. That podcast being Fashion the Book. Now, what you will hear on there is myself going through select readings of this week's comic book, and I just let you know what's going on. So, every Thursday, maybe Friday, maybe Saturday, you'll be able to hear me talk about comic books. Okay, maybe boring, maybe not, who knows? The only way you're going to find out is to go over to the archives section of wildtalkradio.com and download the show and have a listen for yourself. That's Fashion the Books, somewhere near the end of the week, right here on wildtalkradio.com.
ever wanted to know what is really going on through the mind of pro wrestlers? Well, now you can with WrestleBook. It's the only place where you can find out what some of the biggest names in the business were thinking about during pro wrestling's biggest moments. Just imagine if Facebook existed from the beginning. Want to know more? Then log on to www.wildtalkradio.com/WrestleBook for an inside look into pro wrestling history. The only place to go is WrestleBook.
Hey Omega, did you hear that OWW Radio has a new host?
A new host? Really?
Oh, yes and no. He's the old host, and he's now the new host. So, on behalf of the Wild Talk Radio Network, I would like to introduce the new host of OWW Radio, Alan Wojciechowski.
No, mate. You have it wrong. It's Alan Wojciechowski.
Are you sure? I thought it was Alan Wojciechowski.
The name is Alan Wojcik. How many times do I have to spell it out for you people? As these guys are trying to tell you, I'm the host of Online World of Wrestling Radio, which airs on the Wild Talk Radio Network every Tuesday night, around 9-ish, I guess, Eastern Time, remember, run Eastern Time. So basically, me and whoever's joining me runs out of stuff to say. It's a brand new era in Online World of Wrestling Radio, where your opinion actually matters.
As the owner of Wild Talk Radio, I'd like to welcome Alan Wojcik. Who the fuck is Internet David?
The name is Wojcik.
To the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You know my name.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo!
Back, Russ Talk Radio, WTR, something there right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You guys, you want to get in on some of the chat and discussions we've got going on, you can call in. Area code is a toll-free one, 877-588-9877. Option number three tonight, the toll-free line, sponsored by undergroundradio.com. That's UNDA, groundradio.com. Of course, if you want to just Skype to Skype, because it's easier than picking up the telephone, just Skype Sir Rock and we'll bring you onto the show, and you can rant and rave about absolutely anything you want. What the hell? Why not? That being said, guys, have you seen the new custom belt created for Jeff Hardy in TNA?
Can I unsee it?
What has been seen cannot be unseen.
Yeah, there is something cryptic like that. I mean, what the fuck is that thing? It looks like the WWE Diva title on steroids from the picture that I saw.
I know this is only something that only Omega and I would get, but it looks like a Kamen Rider driver.
I wouldn't give it that much credit. It looks like if Jeff Hardy's face was on a coin and you left it on a train track.
Okay, that was a nice visual.
All right.
It's a terrible, disgusting. Apparently, it was designed by a friend of his, I guess.
It was probably designed by his drug dealer.
Well, that would be his friend, wouldn't it?
Sure, why not? Be his best mate.
Yeah, there you go. Spud, you're there, aren't you?
I pretend not to be.
Well, we try to ignore you, but it's really hard to sometimes. You thought it was Shannon Moore who may have designed the belt?
No, I was just throwing it out there.
Just being a smartass, because Shannon Moore is Jeff Hardy's drug dealer.
Also, the tattooists are mostly guys in TNA at the moment.
No, no. haven't you guys been keeping track of, you know, court cases and such? Jeff Hardy is the drug dealer.
I really don't care. All I know is the belt looks shit. There is no reason to have it. And many people turn around and go, well, it's like when Austin had his belt. Yeah. Okay, Austin had his belt for a while. When was the last time somebody had a custom belt? John fucking Cena, and that belt's been around for how fucking long?
Well, yeah, but at least the John Cena WWE heavyweight title belt isn't a spinner belt anymore. I mean, that was cute for like 30 seconds.
Yeah, it makes a neat toy, and that, no, after that, no.
Yeah, no, I like the, my personal favorite belts of all time is the Winged Eagle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad we can't see that one again. That would be nice. But for Jeff's belt, I mean, that thing, that just looks stupid.
Yeah, I have no idea what they're thinking anymore.
What was even more stupid was Jeff Hardy and Hulk Hogan's speech before it.
Mm.
And basically now, where Hulk Hogan's got the belt over the trash can and goes, this belt represents everything Dixie Carter and TNA was, and dropped it into the title, into the trash can. That was the point I was reaching for my remote going, yeah, this company's fucked. But instead of actually reaching for my remote, I reached for my remote and fell asleep.
Anytime you're ripping off Medusa, you know you're reaching.
Well, how many times have we seen a belt get thrown into the garbage can? You know, 3 times from what I can recall.
Well, the last time we saw it was in TNA when Rhino did it to the ECW belt.
Yep. And nobody bitched or complained too much about that. But then again, that's because, you know, Rhino was the last recognized ECW world champion. And everybody figured that WWECW would be the watered-down fail product that it wound up being.
Wasn't that the reason why he did it? Was because of the fail product? I can't remember the storyline that went with it. But hey, at least I liked it during, like, when Stone Cold had the Intercontinental belt and decided to throw it in the river. At least that was creative.
Yeah, it was kind of creative. Sort of wound up keeping company with Kurt Angle's gold medals that he threw in there, too.
Yeah, other way around.
Something like that.
I'm just imagining there's this one river, it's like at the seabed, there's just like this sunken treasure chest of WWE memorabilia.
I think it's WWE ship sunk. Wasn't it the same area every time? Or the same bridge?
Well, the medals got thrown into the Detroit River, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so.
I do believe they were thrown into the Detroit River.
I have no idea, but whenever there's a river close by a WWE stadium, either you're going to have some metal, the title belt, or a wrestler go into it. So, it's fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah. So, more news and notes. Bret Hart in Germany with WWE on tour. The leather jacket and sunglasses that he always wears on his way down to the ring turned up missing. After whatever it was he did in the ring, in the house show, going back in the locker room, nobody had bothered retrieving this thing. They've got the cops out looking for it. People are looking for the jacket and the glasses. Nobody can find it. Nobody's turned them in yet. Anything like that. That's kind of something that you might want to pay attention to eBay for, don't you think?
Of course, so I can buy the damn things.
Yeah, there you go.
File.
Now, what are the chances that somebody is going to try to make some money selling that shit in the next year if they're not turned up?
Bug, you and I should go halves into buying it, and then we put it over a Canadian flag and then burn it and send the video to Tim.
That is way too complicated for Bug to do.
Yeah, and Mace, as a member, you know, somebody living in a Commonwealth country, you should know better than to say shit like that.
Meh.
Because I'll stomp and kick your nuts.
Sure. You willing to fork up however much it's going to cost for you to fly over here and try and do that?
Only if I win the lottery. If I won the lottery, yeah,
that's not going to happen because you only seem to win about $10 on it every time you win.
Well, I won $6 last night, so I'm four short of my my normal winnings.
But hey, I beat you. I won 13.
Well, I was just about to say that's $10 more than you normally win, but okay, you won $13, fucker.
God.
So, Eric Young in TNA, according to news reports, winds up leaving TNA. However, a couple days later, according to news reports, he re-signs with TNA, albeit at a lower contracted payment. Omega?
I've been wondering why they had... I feel bad for Eric Young. Like, no matter what gimmick he was getting stuck in, no matter how dumb or ridiculous it was over. Like, the guy was popular every single time he went out there. You know, except for when, you know, they tried to make him a heel, and, you know, every heel faction they put him in kind of sunk.
Yeah, that didn't quite work too good, did it?
Not really, no.
No.
But that's really one of the most underutilized guys, and he's got a shit ton of charisma, and they don't do anything with him.
Yeah, well, this re-signing for a lower pay rate just smacks to me of really a lack of respect for what he's capable of doing, Mace. I mean, every time you see Eric in TNA, the guy's money. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, he's gold on the mic, and he knows how to work in the ring. And like Omega said, doesn't matter what he's getting thrust into, he's capable of getting it over.
Yeah, well, he's a nice little package deal wrestler, but this just goes to show how fucked up pro wrestling is, you know, as much as people go, oh, yeah, they sign these contracts for multi-million dollars. Wrestlers are independent contractors. When it comes down to negotiating how many zeros are going to be on the end of that paycheck, we are the guys that are going to be sitting there going, please, sir, we'll take anything. Just don't like, cut me off. I need money to feed my family.
Yeah, and that's where they pretty much have you guys by the balls, wouldn't you say?
By the balls with an iron clasp.
Which is, now you're talking about old school. That's kind of an antiquated way of doing business, don't you think?
Yeah, but what are we going to do, try and unionize wrestling? That'd never fucking happen.
Well, too many guys, you know, making a good amount of coin for contracted appearances would oppose a union just because they're making the money they're making, don't you think?
Yes.
So,
I don't see a guy making multi-millions like Triple H helping out, you know, Mr. Generic number one on the indie scene.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
he takes a pay cut so that the other guy can get a few more bucks in his wallet.
Yeah. Well, isn't their attitude a little old school? If you want my spot, then step up in earnest.
It's not even that anymore. It's if you want my spot, you better find somebody higher up than me to help you stab me in the back.
Which
it used to be once upon a time you'd wrestle in the ring and the respect, and that's how you climbed up the ladder. Now it's sleeping with the boss's daughter or stabbing one of your best mates in the back and using him as a stepping stone.
Well, that's been pro wrestling's dirty little poorly kept secret for decades, don't you think?
Well, only recently is it more come out as people are willing to sit down in a nice comfortable chair with either RF video or kayfabe commentary logos behind them and say, yes, this is how the business goes.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you guys something, and you can all take turns answering this question. If you were to build an indie promotion and you had the chance to build it around Eric Young, would he be the guy you built it around?
I don't think he's the guy you build the company around, but he's definitely a star player in it.
Okay, now we're not talking about something on the scale of TNA or even, you know, Ring of Honor. I'm just talking your local indie promo that'll draw 500 or 600 people a show.
The difficulty with that is how little Eric Young's been used lately. You know, the name power isn't as strong as it used to be. As killer as the guy is on the mic and in the ring, if you're going to build an indie bed around anybody, they need a marketing name.
Well, now, here's the thing, and this is something that people complain about a lot, especially with TNA. They don't push their homegrown talent. They keep bringing in all of these guys who've already made their name in other feds when these guys that they bring in have more star power but less talent.
Well, that's just the nature of the business. I mean, WCW did it too. They weren't really on the map until Hulk Hogan was on board.
No.
You do need a name to get attention to begin with, but there comes a time when you have to stop. You have to learn to walk on your own 2 feet without that kind of boost. TNA has never figured out how to do that, which is why their homegrown talent that's working today is down to, like, you know, the Machine Guns and AJ Styles, and that's about it.
Well, Mace, as far as an indie promotion goes, the best advertising for an indie fed is word of mouth. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Right. So if you had a guy like Eric Young that you built your promotion around, and all of these people who showed up to your show heard him talk on the mic and then watched him work in the ring, talking about how great this guy is, isn't that going to attract more people potentially to come in? Then there you go. Your fans have done the job for you, elevating this guy that deserves to be elevated.
No. The way I would do it is Eric wouldn't be the guy I'd build a company around. He'd be the guy that I would use to build the talent to build the company around. The guy is a workhorse. He's the guy that you're going to put up against the guy you're going to make your heavyweight champion. You're the guy that is going to help you make these guys a star. But the thing is, unlike TNA, I'd make sure he gets paid for what he does properly.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is that you would make him the guy that gets all these other people over that you want to get over, kind of like what they do with the good wrestlers in WWE when they want to get, like, when they want to get a diva over. Who do they put them against?
Yeah, pretty much. He'd be the guy that I'd use as sort of like the gatekeeper to the main event. He'd be the guy that you have to take that first step with to get into the main event scene. He's the guy who tests your guys to see if they are going to make it in the main event. So that keeps him around the main event picture, but it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be my champion, that he's going to be the guy that I'm going to advertise the living hell of.
But
he's the guy that you'd always see in a corner of a poster, and he'd have some sort of profile match. But
and
at the same time, he's not the guy that's the main attraction.
But he does wind up being the guy that all the fans figure should be given the belt and given that push when they don't realize that he is being paid the biggest kind of compliment you could pay a professional wrestler, and that he's the one that is meant to make everybody else look good, and therefore he's always the go-to guy as opposed to the pushed guy that we keep, hearing complaints about.
That is correct.
Yeah. So, if I were to open up an indie fed, I would seriously consider putting Eric Young in that position. He'd be my go-to guy. And then to reward him at some point in time, I do put the belt on him. Just, like to reward him in the eyes of the fans. Yes, Mace, you're absolutely correct. What you said in production chat, I think you're possibly bang on with that one. But somebody else gone from TNA, and that's Lacey Von Erich. Anybody sad about this?
Hallelujah!
Sorry, who am I going to make fun of now?
You still have Lita, even though she's not wrestling.
I will credit her this. At least Lita can wrestle, unlike Lacey.
There you go.
Her entire wrestling repertoire consists of being a Von Erich.
Yeah, the only thing is, and Lacey wound up actually admitting this, as far as being in the ring, she was no Von Erich.
At least she fucking realized it.
Couldn't they have kept her around as a valet or something?
No, get rid of the bitch. She's useless.
Well, I don't know. It was kind of entertaining listening to her.
She probably doesn't even know how to suck a dick properly.
Well, that's why they got rid of her, but it was fun listening to her bastardized sayings and stuff. Yeah, what are the chances of her joining WWE and becoming a member of Laycool?
You've got a better chance of Lita becoming STD free.
All right, all I can say in response to that is, Omega, do you want to touch that?
I don't want to touch Lita at all, thank you.
Yeah, I was thinking, and not without a double bag. Anyway, so there it is.
And a hazmat suit.
So, yeah, there it is, a little bit of TNA news for you. Did you guys check this out? Raja.com has a post out there. WWE names its top 50 superstars of all time. Taking a look at this list.
And it's a surprise. John Cena isn't number one.
Isn't that a shock? No, it happens to be Heart Rate Kid Shawn Michaels in the number one position, followed by The Undertaker. Now, I don't know. Yeah, Shawn Michaels, great career. Congratulations, and you're retired. Undertaker at number two. There could be a case made for those to be switched around, don't you think?
No. Not in my opinion.
Put Undertaker number one over Shawn Michaels.
Here's the difference between Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. Shawn Michaels went out and had one of the best matches of his career with The Undertaker and then retired. The Undertaker went and had one of the better ones in his last 10 years with Shawn Michaels, then went on to a shitty feud with Kane. Tarnishing legacies much.
Yeah, that's not very fair. That's not his fault. I mean, WWE Creative thought it would be cool for them to rehash that.
Okay, do you get not so much the feud with Kane, it's the fact that The Undertaker keeps going when he should have retired. Shawn Michaels got to the point where he needed to retire, and he is retired. The Undertaker is still going.
Well, WrestleMania 27, do you see him continuing on past that, or do you think that we're going to get a retirement match out of him?
We won't get a retirement match out of The Undertaker. He'll just disappear.
Never to be seen
Which is unfortunate for a guy of his lineage in the business.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think
the character needs to be booked. They can't do it where he gets pinned, goes out flat on his back the traditional way. They'd have to roll him into another casket and push him off into the nether world or something. Have him float off like a dead angel or something. I don't fucking know. I don't smoke anything, so I can't be a WWE writer.
Okay, there we go. And I just wanted to say to Jersey Girl that, we're not gonna finally meet Katie Vick because tomorrow night, because that's not old school enough. And it doesn't even belong in the same brainwave as anything anybody could come up with for old school Raw. So, Jersey Girl, just so you know, the answer to to the question that you didn't ask in chat is, oh, hell no. But back to the list. Here's the top 50 starting from number one, going down to 50. Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, Steve Austin, Bret the Hitman Hart, The Rock, Harley Race, Ricky Steamboat, Andre the Giant, Rey Mysterio at number 10, Rowdy, Roddy Piper, 11 is Eddie Guerrero, Triple H at number 12, Gorgeous George, Macho Man, Randy Savage, Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig is number 15. Number 16 is John Cena, then you've got Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair tied at 17. At 19 is Edge, Jerry the King Lawler is your top 20. Then you have Luthez, Terry Funk, Hulk Hogan, Bruno Sammartino, Chris Jericho, Ted DiBiase, Senior, not Junior, The Fabulous Moolah, Classy Freddie Blassie, Randy Orton, Pat Patterson, The Iron Sheik, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, Mick Foley, Kurt Angle, Buddy Rogers, Gorilla Monsoon, Junkyard Dog, Superstar Billy Graham, Jake the Snake Roberts, The Big Show comes in at number 40, and at 41 we've got Jack Briscoe, followed by Sergeant Slaughter, Kane, Nick Bockwinkel, Jeff Hardy makes it at number 45, Dory Funk Jr., Bob Backlund, Rick Rude, Batista is on this list at number 49, and running up the top 50, Killer Kowalski. Those are the 50 greatest of all time, according to WWE. Now, does anybody have any disputes with any of those names in any of the placings that they're in?
Batista shouldn't be on that list at all.
Batista should not belong on that list at
all.
He
has done nothing of note since he started.
I 100% agree with you. What about you, Omega?
Batista just does not sit well on that list. He has nothing to do with any top 10. I'm surprised Hogan ended up as low as he did, though.
I have a funny feeling because it's WWE's own list. You know, Hogan is in TNA. Maybe that might have a little influence. Aren't you guys surprised there is no Ric Flair on this list?
Number 17, tied with Dusty Rhodes, you retard.
There you go. I'm just making sure you're paying attention. But would you actually say that Dusty and Rick were tied? And is it not a surprise that Ric Flair is not in the top 10?
Well,
I probably would have. You guys said Omega.
Ric Flair's legacy is in the NWA and WCW. His WWF run was pretty brief in comparison.
Personally, I would have kicked Batista out of the list and just, you know, put 17 and 18 to be either Dusty Rhodes or Ric Flair. You could probably interchange the two based on their own feuding history. Mind you, taking a look at this list, there is no actual number 18.
No, that's because of that tie at 17th place. You can't really have an 18, you know. It's kind of like what they do for sports.
Well, that's pretty stupid. They should have just made a friggin' decision and had an 18. And
there you go, yeah.
It makes it look like they can't count the 20.
maybe 18 was Chris Benoit.
Ooh.
Ah! Ooh.
Now, where would you put Chris Benoit on this list?
You know, he's a great wrestler. I won't take any of that away from him, but I don't think you put him on the list at all.
So you think they were right to exclude him? It's kind of difficult to separate what he did in the ring with what he did at home, isn't it?
There's a line of separation there that really gets blurred.
Yeah. It's kind of tragic that pretty much most everything Chris Benoit ever did in his professional career in the ring has to be omitted, wiped out, blotted out, ignored to the extent that it has to be because of what he did. Don't you think?
I'm just sort of taking a look at this. I'm noticing, and I hate to do this, especially considering the timing of it.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't have Eddie Guerrero at 11. If Eddie Guerrero was... I'll put it to you this way. If Eddie Guerrero was still alive, he'd be somewhere around the mid to late 20s in that list.
Yeah.
I think his death pushed him higher than what should have been for the guy's talents.
Well, you know, I think that's a bit of a catch-22, Mace. I mean, sure, yeah, he's number 11, and we're all thinking, well, he only made it to number 11 on the list because of his tragic, unfortunate death. But had he not died, who's to say he wouldn't have wound up being number 9, 8, or 7? Because who's to say he wouldn't have been able to still be performing today, right?
True.
You know, and who's to say how many more times you may have held titles or made money for the company? So yeah,
again, true, and I do apologize for saying it so around the fact that it's an anniversary at the moment.
Yeah, no, it's totally a catch 22. I understand what you're saying. If you could just remove the fact that he's tragically passed away right now, I would not have him, like, if he had retired on November what was it, November 13th or November 12th, 2005. I probably would have put him in the top 20, but maybe in 19th or 20th position. Okay. However, based on the potential that we never got, there's nothing to say he could not have made it to as high as number 5 on the list. Would you agree?
True. And the same could be said for Kurt Hennig as well.
Yeah. In my opinion.
It's weird how much death plays into these types of lists.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they want to try and have a realistic expectation of the guy when he was alive, but at the same time they don't want to disrespect the man who has now passed on.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
You're saying, it is a catch-22.
Yeah, Tony O in the chat room is throwing off a list of people that he would want on there. Bruno Sammartino, Tully Blanchard, Benoit, we talked about, the great Muda, Jushin Liger, no Kenta Kobashi. And the whole list is flawed, and it's a big fuck you to Bruno Sammartino. And I can understand...
Hold on, Bruno Sammartino is number 24.
Yeah, I could, like I was about to say, I could understand him saying that, except for the fact that Bruno is on the list. So, here, I don't know if you know where I'm going to have to re-enter the chat room. Could you guys post the link in the chat for me, please?
Yeah, I can do it.
Much appreciated.
It's done.
There we go. So, yeah, if you go there, you'll see absolutely everybody on there. And Ricky Steamboat, where is Ricky Steamboat? I saw his name. Didn't I see his name on this list?
It's somewhere in the top 10. Steamboat, number 7.
Yeah, he's number 7. So, yeah, he is on the list. Yeah, well, Tony, yeah, you know, you could look at it that way. It's a little skewed because it's WWE's list, and Bruno Sammartino pretty much has said fuck you to WWE, which has caused WWE to turn around and say, yeah, well, fuck you too. Which, you know, it's understandable mutual antagonism. Yeah, I don't know who came up with this list, but I would have to say, Mace, Omega, Spud, I have to say that this is a flawed list.
Of course it is. It's produced by the WWE.
Yeah, you know, trying to be as objective as possible, should Bret Hart be number 4? I don't have a problem with that. Should The Rock be number 5? I've got a problem with that. You know, yeah, sure, great entertainer, everybody loved him, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, Shawn Michaels number 1, I can deal with that. I can live with it because the guy worked his ass off in the ring, always put on a great show. And he was definitely value for for the price of your ticket, right?
Yeah. Plus, you got to realize, you know, there's no Owen Hart, no Antonio Inoki.
Yeah, you know, Owen Hart definitely deserves to be on that list. And there you go. Get rid of Batista and throw Owen Hart on there. I don't care what order you put it in at this point in time, but I think it's a tragedy that they aren't allowed to mention Owen Hart for this list.
It's a shame that they can't bring up Owen Hart because most of these things, there's the world's greatest tag team DVD that they put out. You know, you could have put the Hart Foundation on there with, you know, the times where you had Brett and Owen teaming or you had Owen and the Bulldog, you know.
Yeah.
Greatest Intercontinental Champions of all time. There's that DVD as well. Any DVD that's WrestleMania 10, you know, I know they still include the match on there, but, you know, it could have been a part of the Greatest WrestleManias of all time DVD.
Yeah.
They can't put any of this stuff out because, you know, as we all know, Bitch Faced won't let them do it.
Yeah, fuck you, Martha Hart. Yeah, you know, there's a great big fuck you to us. Yeah, okay, I understand. You've got a bitter pill that you were given that you had to swallow. But why are you fucking us over just because you want to get even with Vince and company? I mean, personally, I don't think that's right.
It's not, but we don't control the wrestling universe, so.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking we should do, everybody, Yeah, everybody listening to the show tonight, if you feel like you want to put together your personal top 50 list, do it. If you're listening live or if you're catching the archives, put together your top 50 list. Now, I don't care if your name is Jersey Girl in the chat room or Tony O or Lucky Star 2010. Go ahead. Put your list together. Your name could be JJ Sexay. You know, you could be the original redneck of wrestling radio, the Tree Dog. I don't care who you are, okay? I don't care if we've got a good history or a bad history. You could be Chris fucking Cash if you want. Put together your own top 50 all-time list and email it to admin@wildtalkradio.com. Let's see what you guys come up with, and we'll post it. We'll post your lists. We'll give you full credit for your lists. We will not put any kind of bias remarks or anything like that on your lists. We'd like to see what you guys.
And frankly, if you guys want to have your opinion on this, do it the old-fashioned way. Tell the WWE you're not going to buy their bullshit by not buying this stupid DVD. Go out and get it via torrents, get it via websites, wherever you can get a hold of it. If you just want to see it, to be honest, I know we hate doing this, but fuck it, go and get it for fucking free. Go and hire it from a video store for $2 or whatever. Frankly, we don't condone what you do with your own time and materials. Yeah. You know, that's up to you, but don't spend, you know, whatever they're going to charge, you know, $30-$40, whatever they're charging for this DVD. Don't buy it. Don't buy into their bullshit.
Tim just ran down the whole list, so, you know, no suspense. Why do you need to see the DVD now?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Go take the list, watch your favorite match from each of those wrestlers, and you're done.
Yeah, and if you're going to spend it on something that might be worth your money, go and buy the Bobby Heenan DVD.
Yeah, you know, as far as spending money on a DVD, I'm not going to. I guarantee I won't be seeing the DVD unless somebody I know gets it, and then maybe I'll watch it if I have absolutely nothing else to do. Now, it's not like I condone file sharing or illegal downloads or anything like that, so I'm sure nobody here has actually mentioned that while I was temporarily gone, right? So.
What, we haven't mentioned the 10 ton of illegal porn that you've got on your hard drive? Oh, shit. Sorry, dude.
Oh, no, there's no illegal porn on my hard drive. It's all 100% free and clear. Jackass.
<Sure.
laughs> You are a jackass. I love double D's. Anyways. Oh, there it is. Top 50 superstars of all time in Jersey Girl, yes. Do your damn list. Put your women wrestlers on it. I don't care. You know, if you want to recognize a few of your favorite femme fatales of the squared circle, do it. If you think they deserve to be there, go ahead. Yeah, Mace, we know that. You know, relax, okay? It doesn't say I condone it. Doesn't say I don't. So, you know, just talk about production chat notes here. Well, everybody, that brings us to our second break of the night. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. Talking about the late, the great Diva La Rasta, Eddie Guerrero, on the other side of this quick little timeout. We'll be back right after this.
Up and down there, fine. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy.
This is Cigarette Buzz and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Buzz and Bandanas.
You know, wait, hold on. Let me.
Why do you always just end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer.
Let's do this.
Great show.
Come on.
Why do you think
we waited forever to Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a white beater in my size? 4.
William H. McConnell. And for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait.
I am your host with the most host, the godfather of extreme, Big. Well. I stopped myself real bad. Wow. Alright, well, everyone was listening to that, forget about the fact. Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What I do?
I'm Rob Plus, your godfather street, for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio, or anything goes. Or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talky Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Viva la raza!
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, 15 minutes past the hour. What hour? Check your own damn clocks. This is a global production, and depending on where you are, the hour will be different. And that's all I'm going to say.
3:15 Thank you for that geography lesson.
You're very welcome. And now for the weather. Look out the fucking window. Back to the tunes. Yeah. All right, guys. Dad jokes temporarily put aside. 5 years, it's been 5 years and 2 days since we lost Eddie Guerrero. You know, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. How much has he missed still, 5 years on, Mace?
Shitload by a lot of people. Hell, I'm still expecting one WrestleMania for him to just pop up, back up out of nowhere going,
I was dying!
Alas, not going to happen.
Yeah, we're not going to have that in 5 years.
Bloody hell.
5 bloody years. And I still remember, as if it were yesterday, how I found out. I mean, Omega, where were you? What were you doing when you heard that Eddie passed?
I wish it was some big thing. I was just, I found out checking my usual wrestling sites that day. I mean, I wish I had an easier way for someone to have told me.
Yeah. What about you? Go ahead. Keep going. Sorry.
No, it was just, it was a shock just to see it you know, mixed in with all the headlines, you know, it's just like, okay, it's another news thing. I really wish I had had a friend that, hey, dude, look, did you hear about Eddie? Mm. You know, just to soften the blow a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Spud, I haven't heard from you very much in the last little while. Do you remember what you were doing when you found out about Eddie?
Setting my fantasy lineup.
Setting your fantasy lineup for...
Fantasy football.
For fantasy football. And how exactly did you find out?
Wildcat woman sent me a message and told me.
Yeah. Well, let's ask our producer to chime in on this one. Rock, how did you find out?
Just like Omega was saying, through wrestling news sites, just you see on one headline and you go, okay, it can't be real. And you check a couple more and you realize,
yeah.
That's how I found out.
Yeah, Mace, we never did hear how you found out.
Well, like Rock and Omega, I found out via wrestling news sites. I woke up one morning doing my usual check of websites, and when I hit the wrestling ones, I saw, you know, Eddie Guerrero passes away, and I'm like, no, bullshit, Eddie? Checked about 16 different sites by the end of it. Went and woke up my housemate, who's a fellow wrestler down here in Australia, told him about me, and he didn't believe me for like an hour and a half until he went and checked the sites that I had just checked. But we had an independent show on that night, actually, so, you know, it was sort of weird to pull a show, and at the start of it, you know, I was one of the commentators at the time. And just as we opened the show, you know, we did a tribute to Eddie Guerrero, and I was the one who had to deliver it, you know, so it was one of those things of, until you're actually standing there having to say it in front of 300 people, it didn't really sink in. But I tell you, by the time I was before the end of the show, I was so sick of calling frog splashes. Everybody wanted to finish with a frog splash that night.
Of course. Now this was 5 years ago. This was a Friday that it happened, or Saturday, right? The day before a pay-per-view.
No, I don't think there was a pay-per-view on that weekend.
I know that there was a Raw SmackDown Super Show that they turned into a tribute that was originally going to be like a Super Show. He was supposed to win the heavyweight title at the next pay-per-view that they had, which would have been Survivor Series.
Yeah, and Batista had the belt on Raw, and he took off the Eddie Guerrero shirt that he had on, laid it on the hood of the car, and then put the title around the waist, and that was the closing shot of Raw.
Yeah.
I remember that. I actually have both episodes on DVD here.
Yeah. But I do remember how I found out about it. You know, get out of bed in the morning, and went into the kitchen, put the coffee maker on, got to the computer, and I had an instant message left for me by a certain individual that does a Monday night show saying that he has to revamp his whole Monday lineup, RIP Eddie. And I'm like, what the fuck? What is he talking about? So, from there did a bunch of digging, talked to JJ about it. This is back, of course, when JJ was also, you know, when he was co-hosting Wrestle Talk Radio. And literally in 24 hours, the two of us had thrown together a tribute show with a lot of friends of Eddie that actually took some time to come on and talk about him. And that, as sad as it was, it has to be one of my favorite episodes of doing this webcast. Just to hear all of the people, sing the praises of this guy that we sadly and tragically lost. But that brings me to this roundtable discussion question, guys. And we'll start with whoever wants to start talking about it first. Just jump in. What is the legacy of Eddie Guerrero?
Short-lived, potential not fulfilled. And someone who, while deserving a place in the Hall of Fame,
got it when he did simply because he passed away.
Omega?
Jeez, if I'm going to remember Eddie for anything, it's just how much you could tell he loved to do what he was doing, whether he was a face, whether he was a heel. He was having the time of his life every time he stepped out into the ring, which is something I don't get from a lot of wrestlers these days. You know, it seems, you know, I see a lot of them, they're acting like it's a 9-to-5 job, you know, just, you know, I got to put over this guy this week. Eddie was fun. I mean, Eddie made WWE so much more watchable than it was at the time. I mean, that's really what I remember about him. When his music hit, I knew I was going to enjoy the hell out of it.
Yeah. Mace, what about you?
To me, it's sort of the things that he did and how it translates to others. Go out there and wrestle every match like it's WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Go out there and cut a promo like you're a clown at a rodeo. Mm-hmm. And most of all, just go out there and have fun and remember your love of the business.
Yeah.
That's what sort of the legacy of Eddie Guerrero is for myself.
Okay. Well, for me, I don't think that his legacy has yet been written. His eldest daughter has signed a developmental deal with WWE, and if she is even one quarter as talented as her dad was, she is definitely going to be one hell of an entertaining wrestler, I think. And I think that his legacy might wind up being what we see in her that reminds us of him in that ring.
She's not going to be used right. She's not going to be allowed to do the shit her dad did.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. I have to admit, that's my biggest fear, Spug, and it's a terrible thing to think that fear will most likely wind up being reality. Mace, you were going to say something.
Yeah, here's where I'm not liking the idea of Eddie's daughter getting into wrestling. She's going straight in and learning from SCW.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have Uncle Hector teaching her in El Paso. You know, you don't have the Guerrero family teaching her how to wrestle like they did with all the other kids.
Chavo's
that's the thing. You don't have, you know, Chavo Sr. probably hasn't taught her how to wrestle. She's learning all this shit fresh in FCW. She's not going to wrestle like a Guerrero. She's going to wrestle like every other diva that's come out of the fucking roster.
And so you don't
which is a shame.
You don't see Chavo Jr. working with her.
No.
It's not just that. It's also the fact that no one in the WWE development goes over. None of them wrestle in Mexico. None of them wrestle in Japan. None of them see other wrestling styles. You know, if you look at guys like Benoit Guerrero, they all did tours in other countries. They all did tours in Japan, and they came up better wrestlers for it.
Yeah.
When you just get one type of experience, everyone comes out looking identical. I mean,
I was just going to say, and of course, all the wrestlers that you named had a really, really heavy influence from the Mexican Lucha Libre, including Benoit, and even somebody that you didn't name, Chris Jericho. They all worked their asses off and learned, I think, a hell of a lot with promotions in Mexico, such as AAA.
Yeah,
I almost wish that was part of the curriculum in WWE. You signed a developmental deal. We are going to sign a deal with New Japan. You go wrestle for like 6 months over there and learn you know, something other than, you know, American wrestling style? You know, or are you going to take a tour in AAA or wherever? You know, because the experience is going to help them more than anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's one thing that's seriously missing with today's rosters, plural, is the fact that none of these guys are being made to pay their dues in places like Japan or Mexico. I mean, that's probably the best thing you can do. Some of the greatest names that some of them you'll see on WWE Old School Raw, a good portion in that top 50 list.
The business
all earn their stripes in different, you know, like different promotions. Going to Japan and learning how they do it there. It's totally, you know, professional wrestling in Japan is totally different from North American wrestling. They've got what they call strong style. Mace, Spud, you guys know strong style.
Yes, but the business has changed so much over the last 20 years.
Yeah.
The last 10 especially, that the requirement to go overseas anymore is almost null and void, because the wrestling market, the business is so saturated with guys who are proficient in the Mexican style, proficient in the strong style, proficient in the European style of wrestling, that it's all just a melting pot now, where you can go talk to somebody who's wrestling in Indiana and learn strong style. You don't have to go to Japan to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, you know, the necessity to go overseas is not there anymore.
Well, don't you think that learning it over here, as opposed to actually making that trip, loses something in the translation, simply because part of it is you don't absorb that culture, you don't absorb the fan reaction, which is different there than it is here.
Well, yes.
Also, you don't absorb the discipline and the respect that you get. Well, so, I hate to say it this way, but you get it beaten into you in Japan, and you have to earn the living shit out of it in Mexico.
I disagree.
Especially with these multi-generation fans. Well, generation wrestlers.
I disagree to a little bit. I think that the respect is still there. You don't think that somebody learning strong style from Samoa Joe is not going to have it beaten into them?
But at the same time, you're comparing things like, okay, I can read about World War II. That doesn't mean I have the respect for those people that I would if I was there with them.
Or heard it firsthand from the veterans.
It's all perception. It's all you're going to have douchebags who don't have the respect for it, even if they learn it from somebody who's over there. You know, you're going to have people like that. It's all perception. All perception. But with the way the business is so entirely saturated with hundreds of different styles now, the necessity to go overseas for the younger guys is not there.
No.
Mate, you know, it's no longer necessary, as you're saying, Spug. But, you know, you and I, as independent guys, you know, we might not be required to go over there and do it. It doesn't mean that we're not going to think about going over there and doing it, to experience it firsthand. You know, as you were saying with the whole Samoa Joe thing, I could learn all that from Samoa Joe. But at the same time, it's not the same type of respect if I was to go over to Japan and do 1,500 squat thrusts every morning, followed by 16 miles of running, followed by 4,000 push-ups and all that stuff that they train into them over there. You know, it's different levels of respect. But it's just unfortunate. Like, I really wish that there was still that requirement that you had to go and cut some time in Japan or Mexico or somewhere else, learn how to work different styles, because, and you know, it also goes with your communication in the ring. You know, a lot of these guys still do. What happens if you get released by the WWE and you do a tour
with a company that goes through Mexico and uses their stars, you won't understand what the hell they're saying. You won't understand how to wrestle with them with their style, because you're so used to working the blocked-in WWE style. And that's where my whole objection to Guerrero's daughter coming into the business is, because she's going to learn that very blocked-in WWE style, and if she decides to continue wrestling after they release her, after they're done with her in a year or two time, if she even makes it to the WWE, and she wants to continue on wrestling elsewhere, she's got to learn how to adapt to different styles. Mostly WWE guys, they don't do that. But yeah, we're going like 16,000 Ks off topic here.
Yeah, we are. But to get back to Eddie, guys, start with you, Omega. Just tell me some of your most favorite Eddie memories.
Oh boy. God. I don't know where to begin here. I still most, you know, this is gonna sound fanboy sheepish, but I still remember the lie, cheat, and steal gimmick. You know, I remember I still loved all the times when, you know, he'd fake a chair shot, you know, and he'd pull that like once a month, and I'd still laugh my ass off. You know, Eddie developed this style where it wasn't so much about how is he going to get the win, it was how the hell is he going to cheat this guy next. You know, which, you know, it almost equates to, like, if you see a movie like Ocean's 11 or Red, which I saw, like, last week. Good movie. And you don't get a mentality of how is it going to end, you have a mentality of how is he going to get out of this next, which it was such a unique feel to watch his match and have that sensation going through your head.
Mm-hmm. Mace?
Comes down with feuds in WCW where I saw most of his work. You know, his feud against Rey Mysterio, he was the first guy to ever pull off Rey Mysterio's mask.
Yeah.
You know, he did the mask versus title back in 1997 against Rey Mysterio, which was a phenomenal match. I remember the LWO, how he was using that as a platform to stand up for all the Latino wrestlers that were getting a bum deal by Bischoff at the time. You know, and also his feud with Chavo Guerrero, which brought us the great invention of Pepe and the shirt of Eddie Guerrero is my favorite wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, that t-shirt idea went all the way into his WWE career. They even tried to rehash it with Chavo at some point.
Yeah.
You know, the guy was an amazing entertainer and a great talent in the ring, and you couldn't help but, you know, stop and always made sure your eyes were glued to the television any time Eddie was out there putting on a match.
Yeah. What about you, Spuds?
Malenko versus Guerrero, 2 out of 3 falls in ECW in the night he won his first WWE championship.
Those are some of your favorite memories.
Yeah.
So there's also the one that we're not allowed to talk about, supposedly, which was WrestleMania 20.
Mm-hmm.
The embrace between Guerrero and Benoit.
Yeah, hell, talk about it, because I was about to bring that up as one of my favorite Eddie moments. You know, that's right up.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but if you didn't get a tear in your eyes seeing that on TV, I'm sorry, but you have no fucking soul, my friend.
Yeah, no kidding. The lie, steal, cheat vignettes that he used to do with his nephew Chavo, some of those things are absolutely priceless. Gold. You know, where they actually teach you how you can steal candy from a baby and get away with it. You know? The promos between him and Lesnar just before he wins the title. I mean, some of those were absolutely epic. You know,
I'll say the promos I remember where he did something unbelievable, which was make China seem female.
Almost sexy.
Oh, God. the wooing of China. Oh my god, and the t-shirt tuxedo, going to the prom with Mamacita.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the fact that he's actually cheating on China while he's trying to make her feel all loved and shit. And he's actually been, you know, stereotypically male. So, yeah, but, yeah, you know, it's just some real classic memories of Eddie. As we go to break here, everybody, we've shown it like at least once before on the Wild Talk Radio Network here. We're going to show it again. It's our tribute to Eddie Guerrero that I put together just a few weeks after, I think it was just like a year, maybe a year after his death. And I think Rock has that ready to go. Enjoy the video as we go to break and listening to WTR Sunday Night. We'll be back with Quick Hits right on the side of this timeout.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Sam PK Peter Wilson.
You listen to the WCR Sunday night.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Rush Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're all just sitting here trying to figure out what the hell that music was. Well, it was the theme for 1994's Survivor Series, and thanks to Sir Rockin for looking that up and letting us know what it was that he was playing. Speaking of which, yes, it's already time for the canceled pay-per-view. We're, of course, talking about Survivor Series, you know, the pay-per-view that they decided to do away with. But then, mysteriously, for absolutely no explained reason whatsoever, Omega, they brought it back.
Well, it works out for me. I mean, I didn't think, in the age where gimmick pay-per-views rule, I couldn't imagine why they'd do away with one of their originals.
The original gimmick pay-per-view, as it were, yeah.
Which gimmick pay-per-view came first, Royal Rumble or Survivor Series?
Oh, wait a minute. Which one was first? I thought it was Survivor Series that was before Royal Rumble.
Rock says Royal Rumble.
But we would be apparently incorrect. And I just want to say hey to Les. Les, the guy that sponsors the WTR toll-free line, the guy who owns, runs, and operates Underground Radio, spelled UNDA, Ground Radio, www.undergroundradio.com. Welcome to the chat room, Les. You are 1 hour and 46 minutes late, you dummy. Anyway, we have got maybe 5 minutes to run down our Survivor Series preview for 2010, which shouldn't take very even that much time because they've got, what, three matches announced and confirmed? You got the WWE title match with Wharton versus Barrett, Cena's wrestling. The world title, Edge versus Kane, and then Natty versus Lay Cool for the Divas title. And that's pretty much it, Mace.
Yeah, great hyping of your pay-per-view there, WWE. I, A, completely forgot it was on, and B, you have, like, no matches that I give a rat's ass about.
Yeah, so you want to predict any of those matches or say fuck it?
What was the Divas match again?
Natalia versus Lake Cool.
Unfortunately, Natty's going to get screwed out of the title. Edge won't defeat Kane, and John Cena will probably get fired.
Huh.
Or Barrett, Barrett will get the belt, and Cena will somehow be fired anyway.
Interesting.
Either way, we're not going to be happy about the end of the pay-per-view.
All right. Omega?
Yeah, I've seen more exciting cards come from my grandmother on my birthday. He's probably got this one dead on. Kane's gonna retain the world title. Lakeville's going to retain the Diva belt. I honestly am not sure what the hell they're thinking with the seen on the Nexus thing anymore, so I'm just going to say, Barrett's going to get the title.
Huh.
Just because they're dumb enough to do that.
Okay. Spud.
I could particularly care less. I could particularly care less about the Survivor Series pay-per-view.
this year. Okay. Now, the fact that you couldn't care less about it, you're going to take a stab at predicting those three matches anyway, or?
Nope.
No. Don't care. Okay. All right. Well, hey, I see Edge winning the title off of Kane. I see Natalya winning the title away from Lay Cole. And I see Wade Barrett winning the title off Randy Orton and John Cena being released from his services. Now, one of those predictions is more of a hopeful wish, but the other two, I think, are pretty bang on. Kane was supposed to drop the title to Undertaker at Buried Alive until it was found out Undertaker needed shoulder surgery, so Kane held onto it, and Taker got buried, and now he's off WWE programming until he has a surgery and he's healed up enough to come back to work. But Wade Barrett winning with John Cena as a special referee, the stipulation is Barrett wins the title or Cena's fired. If Barrett wins, Cena is released from his obligated duties concerning Nexus. And I just see that happening. John Cena doing something to further piss off certain individuals in the locker room. Will this be the end of Randy Orton's tweener style face run, or will it set up one heck of a chase for the WWE title with the next pay per view probably seeing a three way. Triple threat match involving Cena, Barrett, and Orton. I think that's the most likely. However, I do know that at some point in time, WWE is seriously considering having Nexus have all the belts. Except, of course, the Divas title.
I don't know. Heath Slater can make a representable Diva.
Well, you know, when...
I was going to say, just bring in... whoever the quote-unquote winner is going to be of NXT Season 3.
And have her the token check member of Nexus?
Why not?
Should be nice.
They bring in Percy Watson.
Yeah. maybe
that's why they fired the Amazon.
Yeah, maybe they'll make her the Nexus version of the Village Bicycle. Everybody would get a turn.
She's not Lita, jeez.
Who's to say it's not Lita? Maybe it's the next Lita.
It'd have to be a new one. Lita's bicycle's rusted by now.
Well, I'm pretty sure that they've been looking, or at least Vince has probably been holding auditions for the next Lita ever since Lita retired. Who knows?
I'm sure he has. Have you seen the budget for knee pads?
Oh, yeah.
have you not seen NXT Season 3?
No, and I don't intend to.
Basically, every single one of them that got brought in was either a model or somebody who had 2 weeks training in FCW.
Ah, okay. Well, that sounds like utter and complete fail to me, Mace.
Oh, yeah, it has been. The only time that I watched like the first two episodes, stopped watching until I heard that you could get a version with Kevin Dunn doing the production audio over the top. And I watched that one. And even then I regret it, because actually having to watch the damn show just to hear the audio was horrid.
Well, you know, you could have, like, surfed the internet and just listened to it. Right? You probably could have...
I could have done something better with my time.
Yeah, damn you it. See? You could have just pictured the what was going on by listening to Dunn, couldn't you?
Not quite. But at least I didn't have to listen to Cole. Ha ha.
There's a bonus for you. Anytime you can not listen to Cole is a bit of a bonus. So, yeah, there's Survivor Series from what we know, what's been set up so far anyway. So you can expect that tomorrow night's Old School Raw and Friday night SmackDown is going to go a long way towards trying to get that card filled out. But I don't know.
Only SmackDown. They won't use the Old School Raw to make up any new matches.
Yeah, well, maybe, maybe not. But, I don't know, it just feels like they're taking a page out of TNA's booking, their, pay-per-view booking.
But I hope not.
Let's leave everything to the last second and not have anything lined up until, like, you know, the night before the pay-per-view, dude. Sounds
next
like an idea.
Know, Next thing we know, Wade Barrett's going to come down and face paint and have his own retarded Divas title.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, what about Rock's suggestion? Nexus minus Wade Barrett versus old school legends at Survivor Series.
Put up a whole heap of green rookies against some guys who could quite easily get hurt if they're not... if they're not carried properly. I wonder how Vince's insurance policy is looking these days.
Oh, it's probably going to be going through the roof for Survivor Series. But, you know, as far as something like that goes, yeah, sure, Nexus is all a bunch of newbies and newcomers and stuff like that. But when you stop and you look at it, hate him as you're supposed to because he's the heel. Don't you think that Wade Barrett has a hell of a lot of upside in the future?
Wade Barrett's the only guy they've let have any upside since that group got together.
Now, out of all of the guys in the ring, the only one that I would trust, I think, is Wade Barrett, especially after seeing how he saved Mark Henry's ass, or more likely his neck, about a month ago on Raw, kept him from splitting his head open in the ring.
I don't know, Justin Gabriel looks like he has a lot of potential, but it'd be nice if they actually let him show it for once.
I don't think Justin Gabriel is going to wind up being anything better than top of the mid-card at best.
Oh, look, the guy has the charisma of a dead fish, but he's got some talent in the ring.
Yeah, there are a lot of guys who have a lot of talent, but dead fish charisma, who should be higher on the card than they are, but will never get there just because of that lack of charisma. Don't you think?
Yeah, sure, why not? Omega, what do you think, seeing as I've been talking too much?
I think I know some very nice dead fish, and I am insulted that you would say that, sir. I'm honestly of...
Insert lead a joke here. Sorry, I had to.
I don't know, Wade Barrett's got a lot of upside, but like Mace said, it's because he's the only one that's been allowed to show anything of it. I mean, I do think you've got a few in that group that have potential. I mean, you know, I still think a lot of them got brought up to the roster a little too fast to pull off this angle. But you've definitely got something to work with in the future with that group. Now, I kind of predicted to break off like the Spirit Squad where, you know, one or two has some kind of success afterwards, and you never hear from the others again. But, I don't know. I mean, you're right on Wade Barrett. He's probably one of the better talents that's been produced so far.
Yeah. And to tell you the truth, in all honesty, I'm kind of interested to see what kind of a title run that he could possibly put together. So I'm all in favor of him taking the belt off Randy Orton at this point in time. Randy's held it a few months, and it seems like no title is held by any one person for any longer than a couple of months anymore, you know, on average.
Yeah, but you know that the whole feud, once Barrett gets the belt, is going to be Barrett versus Cena, Barrett versus Cena, Barrett running away from Cena. Barrett still running away from Cena. Cena finally catches him, wins the belt, and then all's right with the WWE Universe, supposedly. As Randy Orton goes off into obscurity.
I don't know. I think that Randy Orton's not going to be kicked out of the picture anytime soon, to tell you the truth. I mean, sure, maybe they'll wind up taking the belt off him, but I can see him still staying at the top of the card just because of what he has turned into, been allowed to be turned into, or, you know, the fans have turned him into, you know, whichever way you want to look at it.
He'd be the undercard. It'd be him versus Sheamus while you got Barrett versus Cena running around.
Well, you know, make fun of the human jar of mayonnaise as much as you want. Sheamus actually has come a long way in a very short time in the ring on TV. I mean, he didn't come in without any credentials. At all.
I wasn't making any fun of him. That was actually an endorsement of the jar of mayonnaise.
Yeah. I still like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man better than human jar of mayonnaise. Yeah. But what are you going to do, right? Anyway. Yeah, you know, I say give Barrett the belt and Let's see what he can do with it. Why not? Well, that being said, time for the last part of the night tonight, and that's a little something that we call Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits.
All right. Normally, the Quick Hits questions are submitted to me, already figured out with everybody's name on it. This is a bit different. I've got questions. I don't have anybody associated with any of these questions, so it looks like it's my choice. So, let's see. Taking a look at it.
See, we're all fucked now.
Yeah. Starting with Spud, if you could trade places with somebody in wrestling, who would it be and why?
Triple H. Need I answer the why part?
Just so you
but
can.
You're not a fan of your quads,
dude. To have that amount of money to be able to bang Stephanie McMahon and have billions upon billions of dollars awaiting me in a few years when my father-in-law kicks off, I'm in.
Yeah, you see, I knew banging Stephanie had something to do with it. That was number two on his list. Okay. All right, moving to Mace. Would you say that Matt Morgan has the it factor to be a main event superstar?
I wouldn't say he has the it factor, but he does have the talent factor to be in the main event.
Okay. But he doesn't have the it factor.
Interesting. He's not a guy you can build a company around. He's like an Eric Young. He's got the talent for the main event, but you'd rather have him putting the guys over rather than being the guy who's being put over.
Okay, sure, we'll go with that one. And for you, Omega, okay, I've got to, after I read you this question, I've got to give you what the stipulation is. Okay, so here's the question. If you could put William Regal up against anyone in a best-of-five series, who would that opponent be? Now, here's your stipulation. They have to be living, they have to be a current wrestler, or recently retired, or on hiatus. You can't bring somebody back from the dead, and they can't be retired for more than 3 years.
God.
That's kind of retarded.
Yeah, there's a lot of stipulation on that one.
Well, there's a reason for it. So, see if you can answer the question.
I'm trying to think now. Regal's a, I'm like, I like Regal as a worker, but I'm not quite sure who you put him up against. You know, especially to see in a best of five match.
First name starts with D, last name starts with B.
Yeah, unfortunately, it'd probably be Daniel Bryan, especially with his comments that he made about, well, that's the guy he was wrestling that made him think about retirement.
Interesting. Okay. Now, take away the current roster and anybody who's been retired for less than 3 years. Who would you pick?
God, I don't know.
You could even bring somebody back from the dead.
Benoit.
Okay, thanks for the coaching from Spud. Cut it out. No,
that's serious.
Okay.
Benoit's one I would have picked before if that had been a part of the stipulation.
Okay, well, those two have had some off-the-hook matches in their respective careers with each other. Going all the way back to WCW, I can remember a few really good curtain jerkers between the two of them.
I believe one of the highest rated Sunday night heats was the one that had William Regal versus Chris Benoit as the main event. And they wrestled a solid 20-minute wrestling match.
Yep. the Pillman Classic in 2003, like Spug said, that was an awesome, you know, that was just, you know, to use Spug's words, that was amazing. I would be in unanimous agreement with you over that one. You see, I had already picked out two different people that I would have chosen had this question been mine. Benoit was the dead guy or the, you know, retired for a while guy. The either recently retired, currently on hiatus, or current roster guy would have been Chris Jericho.
But Tim, that's why you don't get asked the question.
I know, but still, I'm just, you know.
You notice both answers were Canadians.
The fact the Canadians is incidental. The two of them could have worked really, really well, very complimentary with Regal's style. So.
Oh, please, if we said somebody who was retired in the last 10 to 15 years, you would have gone for Bret Hart.
No, I wouldn't. I would not ever want to put Bret Hart in the ring with Regal for an extended match. The thing would be a great technical match, but just a little bit more on the boring side. And that's just one I would not have voted for. So quit sounding like Spud all of a sudden.
I know, it's weird. Spud,
yeah.
Stop trying to hijack my brain.
There we go. All right, moving on. Next question, back up to Spud. What one celebrity would you like to see appear at this upcoming WrestleMania?
Does it matter? I can care less about celebrities, dude.
Well, you got to pick one because that's the way the thing works.
I really don't give a fuck. Zsa Zsa Gabor can show up. I don't care.
Okay, there you go. Then we'll see.
I'd say Justin Bieber only if I could have Ezekiel Jackson come out and kill him.
The internet sensation, Justin Bieber. Yeah, there you go. Lee. Well, all right.
Who is a product of the great white north?
What?
Yeah, Bieber's Canadian.
So what?
That makes two musical failures to come out of Canada.
Three, if you're going to include Bryan Adams.
Hey, Bryan Adams was
not... I didn't think he was Canadian.
Yeah, Bryan Adams is Canadian.
He was born three hours north of me, so... Bryan Adams was born up in Edmonton, moved to Vancouver.
Three musical failures to come out of Canada.
Bryan Adams wasn't a failure anyway, so fuck you. Moving on, Omega, with the likes of Mick Foley and Rob Van Dam recently trying their hand at stand-up comedy, what wrestler do you think would make the best stand-up comedian?
Oh, my. Trying to think of somebody funny on the roster right now. That's not much that's coming to mind. God, don't ask me these questions. I couldn't say Sam. Yeah, and Spug once again coaching me here.
Yep.
It wouldn't work for on Santino. No, wouldn't work. I don't know. He seems like he's got to be written for.
Here's a hint. Like, give someone with a background in wrestling who can tell some stories to add into the comedian.
I'm trying to think of that, and if nothing's happening. God, I don't read into...
Vladimir Kozlov!
I'm going to say Big Show, just to get everyone to shut the fuck up.
Ric Flair!
Flair doing stand-up? I just couldn't see that.
His stories... Have you not heard his road stories? They're hilarious.
Hey, well, moving on.
Bobby the Brain Heenan.
There you go. There's somebody you might want to hear do a stand-up routine with some of the stories he could come up
Actually,
with.
Actually, no, he'd be more of a Statler and Waldorf type of guy. Sit up in
Triple
Falcon
H.
And heckle.
Triple H. Every answer with you is Triple H.
No, seriously. The one problem when DX got back together in 06 and Vince basically let them say whatever the hell they wanted to say... That was some funny shit.
Okay, here's one for you. Ultimate Warrior.
You would never understand the punchline.
That's what would make it funny.
No, it would make it horrible, like your joke.
It'd be kind of Andy Kaufman-esque. Speaking of which, Spud, last question goes to you. What is
wrong.
Hey.
Bugs already had two. Omega's had two. I'm the only one who's had one question tonight.
Well, you don't get a second one, so fuck you. No, I'm kidding. Okay, mate,
okay.
What is...
Well, fuck you, fuck knuckle.
No, I was kidding. Fuck you. I can't say fuck knuckle because you won't let me say it. What, you get some kind of WWE-style trademark on that?
Damn right, I'm working on meth.
Yeah, there you go. That's the next T-shirt. Shut up, fuck knuckle. Okay, Mace, what is the best-looking custom championship belt?
Best-looking custom championship belt. This goes to a bit of a reach, and you'll have to Google it to see what I'm talking about. There is actually a McDonald's championship belt.
McDonald's?
There is a McDonald's championship belt.
You're kidding.
It's made by the same guy who made the TNA title. And I am trying to pull up a picture right now. It is actually a fully customized championship belt. I was trying to find it. Here we go. That's the one. Rocks on the ball. It is a full-blown custom
McDonald's logo. Is it a UFC championship?
It's a wrestling championship used in Midwest wrestling.
It looks like the old. It looks like the old school WCW United States title.
United States champion McDonald's. Yeah, fuck. I'm looking at that. Yeah, I did a quick Google on it and came up with one, and that's the exact one I came up with.
Alrighty. That's the most awesome custom belt out there.
Okay.
Love Jeff Hardy shit. I'd love to wear the McDonald's championship belt.
Alright. Oh, there you go. There it is. Quick Hits and another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio on the books. Everybody that's our show tonight, thanks for tuning in and sticking with us. Those of you that stuck with us, those of you catching the archives, thank you very much. Don't forget Tuesday night. Oh, WW Radio with your host, Alan Wojewicki. Or what is it, Wonton Soupy? Anyway, tune in 9 o'clock Eastern. Yeah, there you go. Tune in Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern. Wednesday, we'll talk to Talk Live. Returns. You guys got something on the ball, or are you just going to do another bullshit show?
I think bullshit is what we do best these days.
We never plan anything.
Okay, so it's just going to be a sit around, have a couple of drinks and bullshit with us edition of OTL, which, by the way, those of you, if you haven't ever tuned in, come and check it out, because that, you know, is usually the best there is.
Damn right.
So, talk a lot in monotonesky, that was a good one. That was mean, but true. Yeah, anyway, Rock.
Yeah,
anything
goes, full time, return, starting Thursday. Be there.
Full time? You mean she's doing it every week?
Most likely, yes. Coming back.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's why. All right, so,
yeah.
And of course, Running the Rope on Friday. Show with what, Nate?
I don't know, a couple of guys with some weird sexual orientation.
Gee, I was waiting. How would you just simplify that and say it in one word, Omega?
I'm not going there. I am so not going there.
Okay, let's see if we can count on Spud.
What now?
Matt, what is he?
To quote the Ultimate Warrior,
yeah.
Again!
There you go. That's what I was looking for. The TD Top 20 Country Countdown with Trey Doug on Saturday nights is temporarily on hiatus for work-related reasons. Of course, CB Radio returns next Saturday night, midnight-ish, with more CB Radio hijinks. You never know what's going to go on until you tune in and actually listen to what these fuckers come up with, because
yeah.
It's usually... spot up on the spot during the show.
Of course, and it's episode 150.
It's the 150th airing of Cigarette Butts and Bananas. tune in for prizes galore.
Prizes?
Well, not for the listeners, for, like, you and Rob. Right. And, of course, next Sunday night, WTR, Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio, returns following Survivor Series as we break down the pay-per-view, give you our thoughts and opinions, give you a chance to call in and tell us what you thought of it right here on the Wild Side Radio Network. And don't forget, Bashing the Books. I didn't forget that because it's not a live show. It's one of my last ones. Bashing the Books, another episode being podcasted and archived when, Mace?
At the moment, I'm actually due to record last week's episode tonight due to the fact that TNA actually put me to sleep and people who might know my current complaint of I blame Omega for my current obsession watching Kamen Rider. And also why my wallet is so fucking empty right now.
Omega,
yeah, you know, I shall be recording tonight an episode and hopefully have the next one out by the end of the week.
All right, so there you go, everybody. Check out Bashing the Books exclusively in our archive section right here on the Lost Talk Radio Network. If you haven't seen it yet, check out WTR's fake book. We call it Wrestle Book. More content going up all the time. We've got three pages up now. You'll find the navigation at the bottom of each page. And coming soon, daily update to Wrestle Book. So keep going. Keep checking it out. And if you've got any suggestions, you can email it to admin@wildtalkradio.com. That being said, time for us to get the fuck on out of here. I'm going to say goodnight. See ya. Bye. We're done.
Listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.